Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
In your life, because I want to humble you. I want to prove you. That's what you're going through. God trying to humble you. He's trying to prove you. He's testing you, because God, here, watch me good. It's on the screen, because God is trying to push you into maturity. He's trying to push you. Yes, he is. He's trying to push you into maturity. Trying to push you. Come on, you see that little bird there. You've heard it, that the bird always what? Stirs their nest. Even a bird got enough sense to know you can't stay here forever. Even a bird got enough sense to know you ain't finna be around here pulling no twig. These my twigs. Come on. A bird got enough sense to know that there's not no worms to go around here. You got to get your own spot. Come on here. But then we be 100 years old. Come on here. And we don't want God to push us and propel us into maturity. Even the eagle, the greatest birds of them all, even the eagle stirs their nest. You've heard the story of the eagle. The eagle go take all these sharp objects, glass, and these old sharp twigs and sticks, and put them in the bottom of the nest. And when it's time for that little eaglet to learn how to fly, the eagle starts stirring its nest and it pushes. It gets so difficult. It gets so hard. The way that little eaglet got to get up out of Dodge. Can I tell you, that's what God is doing in your life? He got all that glass, all that sharp stuff, all that hard stuff in the bottom of your nest, because he's trying to tell you, you're not built. You're not designed to live in no nest. But no, you're built to soar. You're built to fly. You're built to get up out of this nest and do what I'm trying to call you to do. God pushes us. Look at somebody and say, God pushing you. He pushing you. He pushing you. Oh, that was so sorry. Look at somebody and say, God is pushing you into maturity. Somebody say, hey, hey, yeah. Look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. All of them dead. They died in the wilderness. Millions. Only how many went in? Two went in. Moses from the original group. From the original group. This is a whole new nation. Whole new nation, watch me, whole new leader. Moses is dead. Moses is one that I thought was going to bring us in. Moses, God's man. Moses, God's mouthpiece. Moses, God's prophet. Moses, God's priest. Moses, the one, everything we know about God, Moses taught it to us, but Moses is dead. Moses is dead. Moses is dead. So Joshua, you got to grow up, sir. Your blankie, your security blankie. Come on, Linus, it's gone. No, you can't have your blankie no more. You don't have your pacifier no more. God is trying to mature you and grow you up. Moses is dead. Moses is not just a person. Moses is a system. Moses is a way of thinking. And God is trying to tell us today that your Moses needs to die. Yes, sir. God is trying to tell you that in order for you to go into whatever it is he has for you, you got to let that Moses die. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw also told the Lord, he was high and he was lifted up in his train field, the temple. He saw angels that were flying one toward another saying, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah saw the Lord, but the Lord was there the whole time. But it took the king to get out of his way. It took this earthly natural king to die for Isaiah to see the King of Kings. I'm trying to tell you that where sometime God got to let some folk die. God got to snatch some people out of our life. God got to let some jobs die. God got to let some relationships die. God got to let some friendships die. God got to snatch us out of this and out of that, because he's trying to show us something more, trying to show us something greater. God wants you to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's trying to do something in your life, but you stuck on Moses. He's trying to take you somewhere different, but you stuck on Moses. He's trying to expand your horizon, but you stuck on Moses. Look at somebody and say, let it die, let it die, let it die. Gotta let it die, gotta let it die. Moses is dead, but the King of Kings is still alive. I love this. I just want to say this. The King of Kings is still alive. Isn't it amazing? The King of Pop is dead. The King of Rock and Roll, is dead. The King of Soul is dead. Come on, you don't know what James was saying. James was All those kings are dead. But the king of, come on, you ain't know what Jane Brown was. It's a man's world. Anyway. The Bible says, he's trying to show you something. Moses, help me. Moses is dead. Come on, you thinking about what James saying right now? He thinking about like, no, he, I really didn't know what he was saying. I saw one interview with him and some lady. That lady didn't know what he was talking about. He just, Moses is dead. But now, therefore, because Moses is dead, here comes the king again. Get on up. Moses, you got to get up from where you are. I put the verse up. They think I'm making this up. He's in verse 2. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, Joshua, arise. Arise. Arise means to depart. Arise means to conceive by initial act of rising. What does that mean? That means that you have, in order for you to get up, you got to receive the realization that you can get up. I just said something. In order for you to get up, you got to know that there's something more, there's something greater. In order for you to go where God is trying to tell you to go, you got to know that I'm not satisfied with where I am. He says, arise, get up, to stand up, to come to fruition or maturity, to stand on one's own two feet. That's what God's trying to do. He's trying to raise up a group of big boys and a bunch of big girls that where we can stand on our own two feet. And I'm not living off nobody else's spirituality. I'm not living off of nobody else's Jesus. I'm not living off the fact that my wife loved God. I'm not living off the fact that my husband loved God. I'm not living off what my mom and my grandmama say, what my pastor say, but no, God want me to stand on my own two feet. He want me to rise. He want me to get up to be everything he want me to be. I got to hurry. I'm trying my best here. Y'all making me work hard for whatever reason. I'm making me work hard. Can I tell you that God is trying to push us into maturity? Moses is dead. Joshua, get up. But I don't know anything about leading. I said, get up. But where's Moses? I said, get up. Moses knows about this kind of stuff. He reared in Pharaoh's palace. He left. But here, Joshua, no. Joshua was born in bondage. He don't know nothing about leading no one. He's a follower. He's a soldier. He's a fighter. And now God says, I want to show you something more. I want to show you something greater. But also what God does, not only does God push us into maturity. Watch me. He allows people to push us into maturity. Yeah, yes, he does. Look at Psalms 118, verse 13. Look, it says, look what the psalmist says. I was pushed. How? Hard. So that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. Yes, sir. The psalmist says that they pushed me with the intent on hurting me. There's some of us, we've been raped. They push us. There's some of us, we've been molested. They push us. Some of us have been abused emotionally, physically, and emotionally, physically, and mentally. They push us. But what God is saying, when someone was pushing you to hurt you, the book says, even when you was falling, the Lord helped me. Yes, sir. God allowed me to be pushed into maturity. Sure, you got some pain. Sure, you got some real pain. But God trying to tell you, don't let your pain define you. Don't let what you've been through define you. You're not your mistake. You're not what somebody did to you. But no, God says he's here to help you and to pick you up. He's trying to push you into maturity. As he pushes you into maturity, there's a path. There's a path to maturity. He pushes us. He pushes us. He pushes us into maturity. But there's a path to maturity. Look, Joshua 1:3 says, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, he says, I have given to you. So Joshua, I've given it to you. But if you don't take the path or if you don't walk on it, what I've given you, you won't get. That wasn't that deep, y'all. Come on, y'all ought to get this. God says, I gave it to you, but in order for you to get it, you got to go get it. Yes, sir. In order for you to get it, you got to get up and you got to go. He said, everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread. Tread is to put down. You got to put it down. You got to press down. You got to place your foot down. You got to go down to that place down. You got to thread a path. You got to walk on it. Walk, 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 walk. You got to walk that thing out. Yes, sir. God is trying to tell you that there's a path of maturity. You got to put your foot down on it. My God, I can't tell you how many buildings I've walked around. I can't tell you how much land I've walked around. I can't tell you how many buildings I laid my hand on, pulling it into the kingdom of God. I can't tell you, because can I tell you that God said you got to put some faith to where you got to put some faith on it. Don't just be sitting there pie in the sky. I want God to do this. Want God. No, get some faith. That's what my wife did. She wanted that car. She kept on going down there. 2005, she wanted a car. She kept going and laying her hands on that car. And whoop, there it was. Yes, sir. She pulled that thing. I'm not talking about no magical pie in the sky stuff. I'm trying to tell you, you got to put your faith on something. Let me show you the pathway. How do you put your faith on something? Look at Joshua 1:5. He said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He said, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers. Only be strong. Only be courageous. Being careful not to do according. Be careful to do according to all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn. Here's the path. Don't turn from it. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. He said that you may have good success wherever you go. My God, verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. This is the path. The path is the word of God. The path is, I'm not trusting in my intellect. I'm trusting in the word of God. The path is, I'm not trusting in somebody to hook me up. I'm trusting in the word of God. I'm going to keep on walking in the word. I'm going to keep on standing on the word, because I heard the proverb writer says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. He will direct your path. You got to set a path. Grab that word. Meditate on the word. Study the word. Keep on putting it in your spirit. Come on here. I know what the doctors told you. You got to meditate on that word. Meditation is not, no, that's not meditation. Meditation is you keep on saying it over and over and over again. Oh, the doctor said, I got a negative report. Oh, but God, you said in your word, the path is Isaiah 53:5. You were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace upon you. By your stripes, I'm healed. God, I know what they said, but God, your word said in Exodus 15:27, you said none of these plagues you'll put on me, God, but you'll be Jehovah Rapha. I know what the doctor said, but God, you said in Psalm 103, you said I'm blessed, and I'm blessed, and I'm healed. Not only am I healed, but I'm delivered. Not only am I delivered, but I'm set free. My God, I'm preaching much better than y'all responding, but I'm preaching myself happy in here. You got to walk down the path. Look at somebody say, walk down the path. Walk down the path. Walk down. I'm about to get out y'all way. I'm about to get out your way. You got to walk down the path. Put a little more bottom in the bottom for me, sir. Put a little more bottom in the bottom. He said, we got to walk in the path. Here, we see the push into maturity. Mm-hmm. We see the path into maturity. Thirdly, you see the presence because of maturity. Mm-hmm. Preaching good. I got to take this show on the road. You see the presence because of maturity. That is the Ark of the Covenant. You know this Ark of the Covenant. This is what God gave Moses while they were in that wilderness. God gave him this ark that is gold through and through. This ark inside of the ark. God put some of that manna, that miracle bread inside of the ark. He put Aaron's rod that budded overnight with and grew almonds. He put it in the ark. They had the Ten Commandments inside of the ark. On top of the ark is what they call the mercy seat. And this is what the priests sprinkle the blood of the lamb and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on this mercy seat. So when God looked down on his law, he sees the blood and has mercy. You missed it. When God sees the blood and the law says that I should be killed, the law said I should be destroyed, but because of the blood, my God, because I'm covered by the blood, he passes over. He looks and has mercy. He has mercy. But then here's my point. You see those angels, their wings are spread toward another. And this is what they call the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory of God. This is symbolic of God's presence. His presence is there. God says, you're going to go into the land of Canaan. God says, I'm going to give you the promised land. But before you go, I want to tell you what to do. I want to tell you, you got to set some order in your life. You just can't go to the promised land no any kind of way. You can't cross this Jordan no any kind of way. You just can't just haphazardly walk into the Jordan. No. What you you got to do is you got to set some order. Look at somebody say, set some order, set some order. Look at verse 3. This is what it says. Hey, Joshua 3:3 says, and commanded the people, as soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, he said, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. You got to go, God. You got to go when you see the ark, when you see the glory, you got to follow the glory. My God, when you see the glory, when you see it, you got to follow. No order, no glory. No order. If you don't have your life in order, you won't experience no glory. If your life is not aligned up with the way I tell you to line it up, there will be no glory. Oh my God, look what God says in verse number 4. He says, yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. He said, do not come near the glory. Don't come. Don't get too familiar. Don't get too common with it. He said, don't come near it in order that you may know that the way you go. Here it is. I love this. He says, for you have not passed this way before. You've never been this way before. It's going to take God. You've never done what you're trying to do. It's going to take God. You've never experienced what you're trying to experience. It's going to take God. You never had to come back from what you got to come back from. It's going to take God. You never rebounded from what you're trying to rebound for. It's going to take God. Look at somebody and say, follow the glory. Follow the glory. Let y'all out of here. Somebody help me. Come help me, Miss Ruth. Help me, Miss Ruth. My prop person gone. Come help me up here. Come help me up here. Let me help you with something. Let me help you out. Maybe y'all will get this. Maybe y'all stand right behind me, Miss Ruth. Stand right behind me. Look. God say, follow the glory. Somebody say, follow the glory. God say, get in order and you'll see my glory. God says, I wanna bless you, but you're out of order. Have you ever been on a lunch break and want to get you a snack? And you went to the vending machine. You had your money out. Had your case quarters out. And went to the vending machine. And when you went in and saw that sign say out of order, you said,
yes, I did.
Not going to do it. I can't invest in it because it's out of order. I can't put my money in it because it's out of. So God say, I wanna bless you with some money. I'm finna give you that, but you out of order. I want to give you a relationship, but you out of order. I want to bless you beyond your imagination, but you are out of order. Look at somebody and say, get in order, boo. Get in order. But when I get in order, can I tell you that I have not seen? Can I tell you that ear have not heard? Neither has it entered into the heart of man. Oh, my God, when you're ready for some money and your life in order, God said he'll lay it on you. When you're ready for a relationship and God said your life is in order, he'll put a ring on that thing. Can I tell you that God said, get in order. Look at somebody and say, get in order. Get in order. Get in order. You ought to give God some praise right there. Y'all ain't gonna help me preaching here. I feel like preaching from right here because the Lord said, I'm trying to give you what's next. What's next on the menu, but you can't enjoy because your life is out of order. You can't receive because your life is order. Can I tell you that your God desires to pour you out a blessing, but he cannot bless you. He will not pour out a blessing when your life is full of messing. Good God, I like that. He said, I want to pour out a blessing, but your life is full of messing. I got to have my life in order. I got to lean and depend on his word because he got a blessing for me. Come on, put your hands together and give him some praise. Praise. Sit down. I'm getting ready to give it to you. God says, is this good, everybody? Am I boring y'all to death today? I don't know. Come on. Is this good? Okay, all right. Here. So there's more on the menu. I'm greedy, so I need to know what else on the menu. I need to know what else there is. In order for me to get whatever else on the menu, God pushes me into maturity. Then God shows me the path to maturity. Then I experience his presence because of my maturity. Fourthly, good God, there is the precision or the preciseness. It's a P word. It's precision or preciseness. It's one of them. There it is. The preciseness, the precision. Yeah, that too. Precision of that brings maturity. It was a P. I could have went either way with it, but I went with precise. Yeah, I like that. Can I tell you, that God, yeah, say what I said, whatever I said, it's on the screen. Just don't listen to me. Look at the screen. Look, God shows us the precision. The precision. Maybe to help me remember if I had a definition for precision. Let me see what the definition is for precision. Did I give you all that? I'm not sure. There it is. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Precision is the quality and the condition of fact of being what? Precise. Marked by or designed for what? Accuracy. Yes, sir. Accuracy. Exactness. That's what you saw in the picture. A precision instrument. A surgeon. He's very precise. Doogie Howser. Very precise. Doctor is very precise in what they're doing. What are you saying? God said, I got the promised land for you. I want to take you in. But before I take you in, I have to cut you. Mm-hmm. He said, before you go in, there's some precision that causes maturity. There's some things you got to be cut. He says, Joshua, take them to the border. But everyone who has not been circumcised, he says, cut them. Cut them. No anesthesia. No numbing agent. No whatever it is they use nowadays to help you kind of knock off the pain. None of that. No epidural. No, none of that. So he said, but take, the Bible said, Joshua made a knife and cut them. Everyone that was born in the wilderness, they did not be circumcised. But God said, I want to circumcise them because this causes me to identify with them. Circumcision was an identifying mark that I belong to God. My God, what am I trying to tell you? That God is trying to cut us. And God said, no, I want to take you in. But before I take you in, we got to perform some surgery. Before I take you in, that's some stuff that you can't carry with you. You can't carry the Marlboros with you. You can't carry them Newports with you. You can't carry that Goose with you. You can't carry that Ciroc with you. You can't carry that meanness. You can't carry that nastiness. You can't carry how you think you are. But no, God said, I'm trying to cut you. My God said, no, I want to bless you, but you got to let me cut you. You got to get on the operating table. I want to perform some divine surgery before I take you in. He said, we got to be cut. You got to have some strong cut game. You can't take that dog with you. You can't take that man with you. You can't take that person that's not your husband with you. You can't take that person.